Chapter 22. Koromira, Buin and Marai, 1976 to 1989. Koromira. 1976 saw two new openings on Bougainville. Koromira and Buin. Both stations were established relatively early by the Marist fathers, Buin in 1903 and Koromira in 1908 by Father Rausch. Rigu ex-student Joseph Valle, who was the headmaster at Koromira, knew the brothers at Rigu, only 30 kilometres to the north of his school, and he wanted to have on staff Marist brothers whose spirit and educational style he admired. The parish priest, Father Bob Foley, SM, and Bishop LeMay were open to the idea, and the number of local brothers was increasing as young men returned from their formation in Fiji. This allowed the provincial, Brother Charles Howard, to make two brothers available for the school at Koromira. They were two of the Bougainville pioneers, Bernard Kangu and Michael Kamene, who were, at that time, both in their 40s. The school, which had an enrolment of about 60 students, was a happy place, and Joseph Valle was delighted with his two brothers, who by their easy, agreeable manner and professional approach to their teaching made quite an impact on the school. Bernard and Michael got on well together and thoroughly enjoyed the work. Some of the students were boarders, and the brothers were fully occupied in caring for the students and helping to organise the different aspects of school life: school gardens, liturgical celebrations, sport and studies. Bernard Kangu was noted for regular visits to parents to keep them informed of their children's progress. The small Marist community progressed well, making occasional visits to Rigu by motorbike. In 1977, Brother Felix Koneana, a newly professed Buin man, keen to begin his teaching career, joined them. The following year, after some time in hospital in Vunapope near Rabaul, he was able to return and complete the year at Rigu. The community in 1979 comprised Bernard Kangu and Brother John Naribo, who had finished his studies in Suva the previous year. At short notice, John left the brothers, so Bernard was alone in the community. Brother Bertrand Webster, coordinator of the brothers in Bougainville and Solomon Islands from 1978, decided that under these circumstances it would be best to close the Koromira community, as he had no one available to join Bernard. Bernard would have preferred to stay on, as he explains, quote, "In 1979, Brother John Naribo from Nagavis came to join me, but he did not stay. He left and went back to his village at Nagavis. Bertie, Bertrand Webster, who was the superior, told me to go to join the community at Rigu. I wanted to stay by myself at Koromira. I told Bertie, 'Don't worry about me, I'll be all right by myself.' But Bertie told me to come back to Rigu. I was disappointed because the people were good and I liked the place. Brother John Marrow's people are there too. They are supportive. John Marrow is starting something there next year." So next year refers to the year 2001. End of quote. In 2001, after an absence of more than 20 years, the Marist brothers returned to Koromira when Brother John Paul Marrow joined the staff of St. Gregory's Vocational School. While being attached to the Marburi community, he lived at Koromira as a member of the staff of St. Gregory's for several years. Buin High School. Brother Ray Arthur, the foundation member of the Buin community, arrived in Papua New Guinea on 19 January 1976, his 27th birthday. It was just after midnight when he stepped off the plane in Port Moresby, where, even at that late hour, the radiant heat from the tarmac and the still, stifling, humid night air were vivid first impressions. Things improved a week later when, after repeated delays, he finally arrived in Rigu. Quote, I remember seeing all the coconut trees and thinking, this is paradise. Rigu was a simple place, but I really loved it. There was a great spirit among the brothers there at the time. I really felt this is what Maris Brothers' life is all about. Every day I used to swim in the ocean. I really enjoyed the kids. I had a dormitory at that stage. I really enjoyed the whole situation. I'd been there only 9 months when I was appointed to Buin. End quote. It was only a few months after Papua New Guinea achieved its independence that trouble began in Buin, South Bougainville. A strong secession movement in that area led to the burning of the district office in Buin town, partial destruction of the jail, theft of a large supply of explosives, and tearing up parts of the airstrip. The government high school at Buin was not going well at that time. In the 1970s, there was a high proportion of expatriate staff, some of whom considered Buin to be an isolated and remote outpost. This resulted in low morale, high staff turnover, and misunderstandings between some staff and local people. A few instances of unprofessional staff behaviour further aggravated an already tense situation. Thus, when some secessionist-related rascal bands vandalised the school, there was no strong community reaction to assist school authorities in dealing with the problems. Consequently, the government authorities threatened to close the school, further straining relationships between the Buin people and the central government. No doubt influenced by the political tensions, the Education Department decided to close the school about June 1976. The police riot squad arrived to quell potential violence. Teachers were evacuated, and most of the students were forced to return to their villages. Some students transferred to other schools in the province, including 16 boys who joined the grade 10 class at Rigu. For 2 months, Buin High School remained closed while police guards secured the buildings. When negotiations began to reopen the school, some Buin people wanted exclusively Bougainvillean teachers, while others, concerned about the moral and religious education of their children, made an informal approach to the brothers at Rigu to provide Maris Brothers to join the staff. Brother Bertrand Webster, the newly appointed coordinator of the brothers in the region, was sympathetic to the request and gained the necessary approval from the Sydney provincial, Charles Howard, to ask Ray Arthur to join the staff. Ray recalls his appointment to Buin, quote, "At that time, it was the second term holiday at Rigu, and I decided to go and visit as many families of the students as I could. So I took off from Rigu, heading for Buka. When I got to Hanahan Village on Buka, I was with Brother Julian Huckerman at the time. I slept there, and I heard on the radio they were talking about reopening Buin, and that Brother Ray Arthur was going to go to Buin High School. That was the first I heard of it, on the radio. Actually, before I left on that trip, we had talked about the need to send brothers to Buin to help them to restart. John Momus, chairman of the board of Buin High School, requested the brothers to join the staff. So Bertrand, in consultation with the provincial, Giles Howard, said that I could be sent down there. Mr. Martin Barbeque, one of the school board members, was also influential in asking for brothers and in taking an interest in us when we got there. Sadly, Martin was later killed during the Bougainville crisis. On 21 September 1976, I left Kieta Airport on the 7:30 flight to Buin. Father John Keady, SM, met me and drove me straight to the school, where the student assembly was in progress. About 100 students were present, one quarter of the full school enrollment. After a short teachers' meeting, we were asked to prepare programs for the remaining 3 months of the year. The students had missed a lot of work. Only two teachers from the previous staff remained, and Mr. Damien Rupese from Buka was the new headmaster. Initially, Ray stayed with Father Keady at Turiboiru Mission, moving into a schoolhouse some days later. Brother Julian Quinlan of the Ashgrove community in Australia was to be Ray's companion in 1977, but in the intervening months, Brother Alan Elliott agreed to come to Bowen, arriving on 30 September. He was a 59-year-old Australian brother who had managed the brothers' farm at Mittagong for the previous 26 years. His only formal teaching experience was a young brother in the 1940s, when he had taught in several schools in Western Australia, New South Wales and Queensland. Nevertheless, during his brief stay at Bowen in 1976, he accepted a full teaching load, assisted with religious instruction, and led the singing practices. His warm acceptance by the students prompted his decision to return to Bowen on a full-time basis in September 1977. When Alan returned to Australia, Brother Julian Huckerman, a Bougainvillean brother from the Riga community, stayed with Ray until the arrival of Brother Julian Quinlan in late November. Julian later spent 2 years in the community with Ray and Alan while teaching at the school. Julian, as mentioned in earlier chapters, was a thorough and most professional educator. His enthusiasm and organisational skills contributed much to the re-establishment of the schools. Brother Mark Humphrey also spent 1 year at Bowen in 1978. Bertrand Webster wished the brothers to have a supportive role in the school at Bowen rather than accepting administrative positions. Nonetheless, the brothers made an enormous contribution, as Ray Arthur recalls. Quote, "I had 6 years at Bowen, a thoroughly enjoyable time in my life. I had a fair bit of responsibility being a level 3 teacher. It was a big school, 500 students, mostly boarders, both boys and girls. It was a bigger school than Rigu. I worked closely with the headmaster, organised staff in services, worked with the student leaders, and took a special responsibility for the Catholic students. I was also in charge of mathematics and science, and took an interest in pastoral care of the boys. When I look back over the years, I think Bowen was one of the most fulfilling times in my life." End quote. Education at Bowen High School in the 1980s, as at most Papua New Guinea schools, was fairly traditional. The curriculum consisting of basic courses in English, mathematics, science, social science, agriculture, and practical subjects. The education department, from the time of independence, worked hard to modify the Australian syllabuses used in the colonial era to make them more applicable to Papua New Guinea. But such enlightened innovations were in their infancy and change came slowly. Nonetheless, the brothers were able to add their creative flair to support less experienced teachers, providing encouragement and a wealth of helpful suggestions. Mark Humphreys developed useful units in agriculture relevant to Bougainvillean needs. Ray Arthur spent many days working with teachers and organised several science excursions to the Panguna copper mine. Alan Elliott worked mainly with remedial classes and religious instruction. One unique innovation was the introduction of 2 religious instruction classes per week, one in denominational groups, the other in a combined class. This ecumenical approach and generous time allocation to religious education were previously unheard of in government schools. Alan's contribution. While in Australia, Alan Elliott undertook courses in first aid and remedial education to enable him to assist in those areas on his return. His first task at Bowen, a government school with a high proportion of Catholic students, was to construct a chapel underneath the brothers' house, which would serve as a prayer and mass centre for the school. The brothers and the new chapel became a focal point for promoting the liturgical life of the Catholic community within the school. the United Church Scripture Union Group also made good use of the chapel. Alan remained at Buin as community leader for 6 years until the end of 1983. His most memorable contribution was his work in the clinic, where he attended thousands of cases each year, more than 8,000 in 1978 alone. At any time of the day or night, each patient received compassionate, respectful, professional care, whether the problem was a scratch requiring a simple dressing or a life-threatening case of malaria. This work was demanding, but Alan enjoyed it and pushed himself beyond the limit to care for the sick people in the school and beyond. His own health was not robust. He contracted malaria, suffered from tropical ulcers, and became generally run down physically at times as a result of the long hours spent in the clinic. This sensitive man experienced intense personal loss when students in his care died as a result of malaria. There were three such cases over the 6 years Alan ran the clinic. Each was transported to hospital well prior to the student's condition becoming critical. Nonetheless, such tragedies affected him deeply. His companion at Buin for the final 2 years was Magella Fitzpatrick, who recalls Alan's work. Quote, Alan did marvellous work with the six students. He was one of the truly great brothers. At all hours of the night, he would take people to the hospital whenever needed. If there was no space in the clinic, he would put the six students with temperatures on the floor in our house to monitor their progress. He was very thoughtful. People said they preferred him to the nurses in the hospital because he was so dedicated. Alan also gave religious instruction in the school. End of quote. As he was leaving Buin at the end of 1983, Alan wrote, quote, On 13 December, a farewell concert was held for those teachers leaving Buin. I received several presents of CY basket work, including a large tray with my name worked into it. The students also collected a sum of money for me. This memorable evening brings to a close one of the happiest periods of my experience. In this atmosphere of love and gratitude, I have really experienced the presence of God and learned to trust Him more and more. May God bless all those who have helped me over the years, especially the brothers who have shared time, tukka, and prayers, not to mention canasta. End quote. Alan spent the following 5 years at Tenaru in the Solomon Islands, where he assisted with formation. He returned to Australia in 1988 due to ill health and died in Brisbane in 1997. Moving around the island. Located at the southern end of the island, Buin in the 1970s was somewhat isolated from other districts of Bougainville. Transport was difficult, the only road access to Kieta being through Siwai, Nugavis, across the Crown Prince Range, through the Panguna mine site and down to Arawa. The roads through Siwai and Nugavis were in poor condition, often closed in the wet. There were few bridges and river crossings were hazardous or impossible after rain. In the 1980s, a more direct road to Arawa was completed following a route through Koromira on the east coast. Alan Elliott tells the story of a stolen vehicle and a very lucky escape from the flooded Muliko River, which is a few kilometres north of Buin on the Koromira Road. Quote, In August 1982, rascals from Koromira forced the side rear window of our Suzuki, then pushed it away from our house before crossing wires to start it. They drove to Buka, and then back to Koromira, where they rolled the car. Their former leader later drove the car back to Buin and returned it to us in a damaged state. He asked me to drive him back to Koromira in the pouring rain. The road was impossible. As we were crossing the Muliko River, we were swept downriver but were saved by a big rock. Fortunately, bridge construction workers saw our plight, attached ropes to the Suzuki, and pulled us out. It took us 4 hours to drive to Rigu, where I left the car in the Arawa repair shop and flew back to Buin 2 days later. End quote. Ray Arthur spent most of his holidays in his early years on Bougainville, travelling around the island, staying in villages and mission stations, as he explains. Quote, I did a lot of travelling, visiting the students' families and walking around the whole island of Bougainville. At that time, students came from the whole island, so I was able to go to almost every part of Bougainville. I spent 4 weeks of my holidays travelling and staying with families or mission stations. That was a good experience in itself because it gave me a very good understanding of the people, the situation, and the families. I had a backpack, and I often stayed at mission stations with priests or with families in the villages. For me, it was a sense of abandoning myself to God. Just pack up your bag and go. I didn't carry much with me. I just see what happened. The generosity of people and the welcome at so many places made me really feel at home. Sometimes I would catch a ride on a passing vehicle. Hitchhiking or walking, I just travelled on, not worrying about where I was going to stay next. At times I was able to send a message on to the next mission station that I was coming. I do feel bad about Father Greiner's unfinished haircut. While I was staying with him at his station on Kurayo on the east coast, he asked me to cut his hair. He had a pair of hair clippers, and my hand was paining like hell using the hand clippers to cut his hair. Kurayo is a remote station and there is hardly any passing traffic, perhaps one or two cars a day. I had been with Father Greiner a day or two, and I was ready to move on. While I was cutting Father's hair, I heard a vehicle coming. I dropped the clippers, grabbed my bag, and ran to the car to get a lift. I spoke to Father Greiner about it later, about 20 years later. He still remembered it, the story of the unfinished haircut. End quote. Closure of the Buin community. Ray Arthur's replacement at Buin was a vigorous 55-year-old Australian brother, Magella Fitzpatrick, freshly arrived in the country, having completed many years' service in Australian schools, including being headmaster of 4 schools in Victoria. Magella served 4 years at Buin, first with Alan, then with brother Kevin Agnew, and finally with brother Canute Sheehan. When Magella left at the end of 1986, brother Michael Jones joined Canute for 2 years. In 1989, brothers Ken McDonald and Malcolm Hall formed the community. Due to needs elsewhere, the Buin community was closed at the end of that year. The Buin students maintained their Marist connections after the brothers left. Magella Fitzpatrick tells the story of arranging a gathering of Marist ex-students years later at Kindy Teachers College in Wewak. He invited ex-students from St. Xavier's Kairaru and St. Joseph's Rigu to the meeting. He was surprised and delighted when a delegation of ex-students from Buin High School approached him. We heard you are holding a meeting for ex-Marist students. Is it okay if the Buin High School ex-students come along too? We are Marist ex-students as well. Marae. In the 1980s, the brothers wanted to establish a community of young brothers who would work in a community school. that is a primary school. Brother Geoffrey Crowe, the district superior of the school, explains the need and describes the establishment of a community at Marae. "We needed a place for our brothers who were community school teachers," he writes. "When they were in community at secondary schools, the program of these big schools tended to dominate everything, especially since the primary schools were generally some distance away. The primary brothers wanted a place of their own. Also, it was time for a community of PNG brothers, time for a new experience in living Marist life in a rural setting. We consulted the Catholic Education Office about places that might suit. It was not easy to find somewhere close enough to Kieta for good communication and with vacancies for teachers. While not ideal, Marae met our basic needs, and so we decided to found a community there. Even though Marae was reasonably close to Kieta, it was a different world. The air was fresher, the flowers brighter, the birds more plentiful, and no heavy traffic. There was also an active millennium movement not far away, just to make things interesting. The brothers lived in very simple conditions. One of the bedrooms had no windows at one stage. They were enterprising, though, and fixed up a water supply so that they did not have to make the journey down to the creek and back at all hours. The families were generous in supplying taro, fruit, and vegetables. The students dropped this food off on their way to school in the morning. Since there was no resident priest, the brothers were often called on to help the catechist in organizing Sunday liturgies and other religious celebrations. The hardest part of life there was not the living conditions, however. It was the smallness of the community and the demands this made on good relationships between the brothers. For a number of years, there were only two in the community. When someone was away or sick, it could be a lonely place. For the brothers who were used to bigger communities with a lot of companionship, it was a tough life. Marae, located in the foothills several kilometres west of Aropa, was the third Melanesian community in the district of PNG and Solomon Islands, following Rokera in 1971 and Koromira in 1976. The Marist community worked at Marae from 1982 to 1988. This was a significant venture, as it was the first community composed entirely of the younger generation of Melanesian brothers. While conveniently close to Rigu, the new community was an outreach to a region with great needs. Brother Robert Nomanu, one of the Marae pioneers, describes their work at the school. Quote, "When Marae Community opened in 1982, the first brothers were Melchior Jalawa, superior and headmaster, Robbie Nomanu, bursar, and John Lunga. The school, which had an enrolment of 200 students, was a happy and peaceful place, and people were delighted with the presence of the brothers among them. We were fully occupied, helping to organise the different aspects of school life, school gardens, sport, and liturgical celebrations, including Sunday liturgies. Melchior and I joined the local soccer team, where I believe we had a big influence on the young people. Melchior was a hard worker in the school gardens and in looking after the school grounds. He always had some boys working with him. I would say the brothers had a big impact on the school. We all got on well together, looking after each other and serving the school community." End of quote. The young brothers who served at Marae were John Lunga, Melchior Jalawa, Robert Nomanu, Emil Tong, and Felix Koniana. In 1986 and 1987, it became difficult to maintain the community at Marae, and for a time Melchior continued on staff at Marae while commuting each day from Rigu. The growing needs in other parts of the district finally prompted the closure of the Marae community and the withdrawal of the brothers from the school at the end of 1987.